This is MSO News Sports, and we are joined by Marblehead basketball coach Mike Giardi. His boys' team will be hosting Beverly on Tuesday night to open up the 23-24 season. And Mike, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you, Billy. I really appreciate it.
Well, Mike, I know you guys had a nice little tournament run to close out the year last year, but you lost a lot off of last year's team. So what is the thumbnail overview of Marblehead basketball? You could answer the baseball one later because you're the coach of baseball as well, but in basketball for this year.
You know, we're just obviously still trying to figure out exactly what we have and who's going to fill certain roles. Losing the guys that we lost off of last year's team is going to be really tough. You know, we had a real good leader in Tyrone Countryman running the point guard position. Isaiah Makor doing a great job at his off-guard position, really working hard. You know, Miles O'Neill, who transferred, big center, and did a nice job for us, averaging like 8 or 9 rebounds a game. And then some of the other guys that were coming in, coming off the bench, which really helped out. Losing those seniors can be extremely tough, especially because they probably had 80% of the minutes on the floor. You know, so we're going to have to rely heavily on our guys that don't have a ton of experience. I'd say the one guy that does is probably Nick Lemon, and right behind him is probably Scotty Campbell. You know, both are seniors, both have been around the program, and then we have some heavy, you know, we're a little bit senior heavy with guys with experience, but not just a lot of experience. You know, Cam Comstock's coming in there as well. He's going to do a job for us. We're hoping that we can see the same thing out of Christian Weston and Adrian Barron. Adrian kind of got buried last year a little bit, and we're hoping he can step up and do a really nice job for us. And we got some other guys, too, that hopefully will step into the role, underclassmen. We're really excited about. But, you know, it's hard to tell. Practice is one speed, and games is obviously a different one, so we're going to see what happens against Beverly.
What about for size, for bigs, if you will? What do you have this year?
Well, I think, you know, losing, obviously, Miles O'Neill can be tough, but Scotty Campbell is probably the one true center that we have. There's not too many in the league that's a true center. The nice thing about Scotty, he does shoot the ball very well. So if he's trailing a play, you know, you give it to your big guy as he's trailing. Most teams don't think he can shoot. He can. And then we got a lot of mid-sized guys. Sam Thompson, who was with us freshman year, then was in a private school. His sophomore year has come back his junior year. He's back. He's a good-sized player. Cam Comstock, good-sized guy, and somebody I literally just overlooked because, and he texted me earlier, is another senior, Ryan Kamas, who had a phenomenal hit. Scotty, Ryan, and Miles did a great job as kind of our big three in terms of post players, and Nick Lemon and Tyrone and Isaiah playing those guard positions were phenomenal last year. I think having Scotty and Ryan at the bigs, Cam Comstock kind of backing them up with you know, where he could play either the guard, the small forward or the forward position is big, and Sam Thompson can kind of do the same thing. I mean, we have a lot of depth at that big position, guys that we can rotate in and out, which I think is going to be huge for us.
Well, you mentioned about graduating some players, as you did, from last year's team, but Beverly also lost quite a bit off of last year's team. So how do you see this matchup with Beverly on Tuesday night?
Well, I think the, you know, one thing with Matt Karakoudis' teams is they're going to play hard. They're going to play intense. They're going to get up on you and challenge you. And that's a great one to start out with. You know, I told my kids at practice the other day, we came out really kind of lackadaisical in practice. I said, if we do that in a game against a team like Beverly, we could be down 20 points before you know it. They got some real athletic players over there. They're a little bit younger, but I think they're going to be full of energy and spunk. And they're coming over to our place. We started the season over there last year, and I think we shocked them a little bit, and they're looking to jump back right at it this year and come after us right from the get-go.
That's right. I remember that now. That was kind of a shocker for sure, yeah. And so tell us, you know, just one last question on the team. Last year's tournament run, you guys had a nice little tournament run, winning 2 games in the state tournament. So just a recap on that, if you could.
Yeah, you know, we started to find our rhythm, our groove a little bit towards the second half of the season, kind of picked up the pace, got us ourselves in a good position. We ended up with a home game against Pembroke early on, and then we ended up playing Pope Francis, a real high seed, and we had to travel out to Springfield. And, you know, we coordinated everything and got out there really early. It was an early game. You know, obviously with the new setup with the state tournament that you could play anywhere in the state, we ended up traveling out there, and we were ahead most of the game. And then all of a sudden, I think we played a little too cautious and ended up letting them come back into it. We played a little defensive rather than aggressive. And we got the ball with 20 seconds left and a tie score after they had just tied it up. And we kind of ran just a simple offensive set, give it to Nick Lemon and kind of clear the way. And as he jokingly says to me, he says, "Coach, I did exactly what you wanted." Well, I had said to him, attack down low, and if they come double team it, then dump it to one of the guys. Well, he pulled up from about 35 feet and missed everything, hit the side of the backboard, and Miles O'Neill was right there to lay it in. He said, "I gave it to the big man just like you told me." So we went on a buzzer beater, then had to go down to Mansfield, and ran into an absolute buzzsaw with Mansfield. Very athletic team. It really showed our guys what we need to do this year, you know, to get to that next level. They were a team that was big and fast, and they really took advantage of us. And we watched them play Salem, and Salem hung with them for a while, and we felt we had a good size advantage over Mansfield, but they were just so much quicker than us and worked so hard and worked well as a team that we just got blasted out of the gym. But it was a great atmosphere, got all the way down to the Elite Eight, which was phenomenal, and you know, our kids are looking, obviously, to get back on track, but can't start thinking about that till we take care of, you know, getting after game one, and that's going to be against Beverly tomorrow night.
Yeah, maybe 19 others or whatever it might turn out to be, right? Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, you tell us about, now you were going to play Salem on Friday, but you're not, so tell us about that, and where did the Salem Marblehead game stand this year?
So we still have a home and a home against home and away, excuse me, against Salem. One was supposed to be this weekend, and then one was supposed to be January 26th. This weekend's game was supposed to be our Marblehead's home game, and then the 26th was supposed to be Salem's home game. Because of the way that things had coordinated and everything like that, I'm sorry, the games were reversed. I'm looking at the girls' schedule right now, but. we had talked about potentially doing a game. Steve Gibbs does one, sets one up at the Garden where they have about 8 or 9 games on a weekend. We talked to Tommy Doyle over at Salem, thought it'd be great for us to play a league game there on the Garden floor. So we're going to do that Martin Luther King Day weekend. That's Sunday at 2:30. We're going to play Salem. That's considered Marblehead's home game. We're going to use it as a fundraising event for the Heather Walker Foundation as well. We're going to do all kinds of things with that. And then the game that we were supposed to have this Friday at Salem, Coach Doyle and I spoke with Rick Brunson, former teammate of ours. I'm sure many people know his son, Jalen Brunson. We're going to move our game back to the 26th, but at their place now. We're hoping that Brunson is able to come into town. We're going to do a celebration of the team that Tom Doyle, myself, and Brunson were a part of that won the state championship back in 1990. So we're hoping to get that going. So we just thought, you know, the more people we can get involved to try to get the community involved and do some different things would be a great thing for both schools and both teams. So that's why we moved those games.
All right. Sounds great. Hey, I've got one last question for you. It's a football question, but yet it's a basketball question as well. We had Steve Dombowski on the line last week, and he's with the Mass Football Coaches Association, Milton coach now, former Swampscott head football coach, as you know. And he and the Coaches Association have proposed a format for 2025, which would extend the football season one more week or delay the basketball season, let's say, one more week for practices. And that's it in a nutshell. But, Mike, as a basketball coach, what does that mean to you? In other words, it would have to be a big MIAA ruling, if you will, to delay the start of winter sports practices. Instead of being the Monday after Thanksgiving, it'd be a couple weeks later. So what is your take on, or a week later, what is your take on that?
You know, I think you could do a kind of a mix of that. You know, you could still start your tryouts and do your workouts. So obviously any kids that are still playing in the playoffs, you know, you just got to exclude them. We had it a couple years ago when we played in the Super Bowl. We had a week where it overlapped still. We had to get our kids, you know, and I was coaching both. So we would have football in the afternoon, and then I'd go to basketball in the evening. We told our football/basketball players, take the week off. You know, we weren't worried about it. We actually pushed a lot of our games back. It's not that hard. I think it's a great idea. I will say this. You know, I've known Steve for a long time. You know, we battled them at Milton. We battled them in Swampscott. I mean, a few years ago, and when I say a few years ago, it's more like, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, we played Swampscott, and the winner of that game went on to the playoffs that year. And that was the year you used to have a short week. You'd play the Tuesday after, and if you won that Tuesday, you play the following Saturday at Gillette in a shortened time. And our game came down to the wire, and you want to talk about the Swampscott-Marblehead game is already a big rivalry. Now you put a playoff contention on the line. I mean, that's just huge. I think it just betters it. The one thing I would say to Steve is, as long as if he's going to push the start of games back for basketball, can you do it for baseball too? Because starting those baseball games the second week or the first week in April when it's still about 20 degrees out, I'd rather push every season back a little bit and really get things going so that you can play in the nice warm weather for baseball. So I'm all for it. I think it would lead some great rivalries and keeps the intensity up towards the end of the year.
You know, Mike, it's funny. I've thought about the exact same thing about baseball, spring sports that you just mentioned. I think that's a fantastic idea. I mean, who cares? Come on. And the other thing, too, about basketball and baseball, just using those two sports that you can certainly relate to, is that if you play three games a week, it's not the end of the world, like unlike in some sports. You know what I'm saying?
We used to play in baseball when we were in high school, you know, back in the day. I mean, it was literally, I mean, we were fortunate. We had a couple of stud pitchers in Jeff Juden and Doug Canty. I mean, we played Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
And we played, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday for 6 weeks straight. So it was like, get them in a rhythm, get them on time. I mean, it was fantastic for us. And then you end up in the playoffs and you're playing in the warm weather. I mean, it was great. It's just very hard to do right now, I think, unless you get everybody on board and everybody committed.
No, I agree with you. That's what I remember that too, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for sure. Yep. All right. Mike, thank you for your time and insights, and good luck tomorrow night, Tuesday night, against Beverly over at your place.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Mike Giardi, baseball coach, basketball coach, and assistant football coach at Marblehead High School with us here on MSO NewsSports.com.